Hi, I'm John Jenkins, managing editor of thecorporatecouncil.net, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of our Timely Takes podcast. My guest today is Charles Glick. Charles is chairman and CEO at Corporate Governance Partners, the makers of Foresight for Board Ops. He's recently shared with us his first publication, A Brief Guide for Board and Committee Chairs, which we've posted in the Hot Topics box on our homepage. It's a really helpful resource for anyone involved in planning or chairing board and committee meetings, and Charles is going to share some of that publication's insight with us today. Charles, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, John. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, I know many of our listeners are acquainted with Foresight, but would you take a moment to tell our listeners a little bit about your background and the organization?
Sure. So I'm a lawyer by training. I cut my teeth at a large mergers and acquisitions firm. And by the way, part of what we did there was to study what the board had done. That was usually the central question in M&A litigation back then. And over time, I moved in-house. I was deputy general counsel at one of the predecessors to JP Morgan Chase when Jamie Dimon was the CEO there. And then I became the general counsel of a Fortune 250 company, where the board was my central responsibility. So I've enjoyed working with boards. I think they're good, well-meaning institutions. I think they can be strengthened in many specific ways. And one of the things that we do now in our software company, which produces a piece of subscription-based software called Foresight, is try to aid those decision makers to do the right thing.
Great. And obviously, we've got an example for that of that posted on the homepage in your really terrific guide for board and committee chairs. But maybe we'll start with kind of the big picture. It focuses on giving advice to the chairs of these meetings. And how can they do their jobs better? How can they ensure efficient decision-making during these board meetings?
Well, the first thing that you have to do, I think, as an effective chairman is to participate in setting the agenda. What you ask the board to do is going to determine the quality of what comes back. If you're too vague in approaching the topic, they're not going to know what's expected of them. They need to know, am I being asked to approve something, to review something, to advise on something? There are four or five other verbs that you can choose from. But if the board doesn't know that when they see the question presented, their discussion's not going to be very focused. It's not going to lead to the result you want. So I think the first thing you start with is setting the agenda. Typically, management will prepare an agenda, and it's the job of the chairman of the committee or the board to either add to or subtract from that agenda to best meet the needs of that entity, whether it's the board or the committee. The other factors that need to go into choosing an agenda topic are the time horizon that needs to be considered. You know, am I looking at something that's 15 years out or something that has to be reviewed today? Looking at, for example, earnings, that's typically right now. That's the moment that you're looking at. But choosing a succession plan for a CEO, let's say, that's more like 15 years out. Every director ought to be able to understand what the time horizon is for each of the agenda items. Another factor is how deeply to go into a particular topic. Is this something that we're going to spend an hour on, or is this something that we're going to spend 15 minutes on? The length of time that you budget for that particular topic is going to determine how deeply the board or the committee can get into that particular topic. And by the way, that also helps advise the presenter, the person preparing the PowerPoint or the memo, the briefing book that goes to the board before the meeting. That tells them how deeply to go into that particular topic. The book itself, the briefing book, is a critically important part of the meeting. You want the directors to be focused on preparing before they get there so that their best thoughts, their best questions are already developed beforehand. Now, the chairman needs to do a little bit of work before those books go out. In my experience, a best practice is to actually send out draft books and agendas to the chair of the committee or the board a couple of weeks in advance of the meeting. And then to have a one-on-one meeting. I always did a one-on-one meeting with the chair to go over the agenda. Sometimes they had very good suggestions on other topics that needed to be covered or other emphases that needed to be placed on some of those questions. But also reviewing the materials that are going to be seen by the board or the committee, I think is an important part. I got a lot of good feedback from the chairs when we would go over them in advance. And that sharpened the discussion, that focused the debate. And, you know, one of the things that we want to see theoretically from every board, every committee is robust, challenging debate followed by total consensus.
Interesting you put it that way, robust debate, because a lot of people think that when they read proxy disclosures from corporate boards, sometimes it reads like that everybody was in lockstep in reaching a conclusion. And that's very frequently not the case. There are a lot of contentious issues and a lot of differences of opinion. And it's ultimately up to the chairman to put on the referee's outfit and bring the whistle. What strategies can a chair employ to handle conflicts or disagreements among board members during the meeting?
Well, I think part of it is making sure that you've planned adequate time for a topic that might be contentious or have contentious elements to it. You want to make sure that those get out in the open as quickly as possible so that they can be hashed out. There are times when you might not be able to reach complete consensus that might require a second meeting or an expansion of the budgeted time. Chair should feel free to make that happen, because getting that consensus is the product of the board. The decision they make is what they do. The chair plays a very important role in what you might call the manufacturing process here, the ability to reach consensus. But I think also it's part of the chair's skill and talent that you're looking for them to be able to rephrase opposing views and define the common elements in opposing views. Typically, there are ways to reach consensus by appealing to higher values or higher perspectives.
Great. You know, we've proceeded sort of from the basis of an ongoing relationship with the board chair and the agenda setters, the members, management. But there's a first time for everything. And what should people think about when they're setting the first ever meeting agenda for a board?
Well, I think going back to part of an earlier answer, I think, you know, the time horizon is important, the depth of inquiry that you want them to achieve, the depth of impact. Another thing to consider is the institutional strength of a group decision-making body. They can't actually execute anything. All they can do is decide things and debate things. And so there are some topics that are more well-suited to that kind of an institution. If you're focused on leadership-related questions or strategy-related questions, you're actually focused on more topics that go to that strength. Analyzing past events like earnings, unless there's a red flag, you're not going to have much influence over that as a board or a committee. Even in the most important kinds of topics like approval of major transactions, the things that appear in the Wall Street Journal, the actual approval of the transaction actually has less room for the board to influence it. Typically, that's an up or down vote on the transaction at hand as it's been drawn up by the lawyers. But the time that the board can have more influence over that kind of a transaction is at the time they're doing the strategic plan. I'll give you one example. When I was the general counsel, I would go to New York. We were not based in New York, but I would go there every year and I'd meet with our top three law firms in the M&A space. And I'd ask, what's going on? What are you hearing about deal flow? And in one particular case, I met with one lawyer at one famous law firm who said, if you want to do a deal, buying a division or selling a division to company A, I can probably let them know on a Friday and have board approval by Monday. But if you want to do it with company B, I'll let them know on a Friday, but you're never going to get a response. I said, I don't understand. What's the difference between the two boards? He said the CEOs have different approaches to preparing their boards. In the first company, the CEO has gone into great depth into describing the kinds of deals they would like to see happen over the next 1 to 5 years, the kinds of companies they would like to partner with and join up with or divest from. And they've gone into some examples, too. That board is prepared. That board has done the work that's required to know when they're going to find the right deal. And so if I go in on a Friday and tell them that we found one that matches the work that we did, it's going to be a relatively easy question. But in company B, the CEO hasn't even started that conversation. And so when your proposal arrives, they're going to start, but they're never going to finish in time for you. That to me was an important turning point in the way I thought about the work of the board. The more time you spend on those important things and the things that you can have more influence over, the less time you need to spend when the headline-making opportunity arrives.
So if I can paraphrase you, Charles, it sounds like what you're saying is whether it's your first board meeting or your 100th board meeting, as you prepare that agenda, you've got to think strategically. You've got to think about both the short and long term of the business. And you've got to think what you need to do to prepare your board to be a good board when you set the agenda.
Absolutely right.
All right. And that, I guess, leads to my next question, which is, okay, we've thought about the agenda, we've thought strategically, and we've come up with some items. How do you go about prioritizing?
Well, we have built into Foresight a proprietary methodology for prioritizing. And we want to skew towards the leadership and strategy questions and skew away from the execution questions. I did a bunch of interviews before we put together the software. We interviewed over 100, now it's over 150 CEOs, directors, and general counsel. And these were in-depth interviews, over an hour in each case, sometimes more than one interview per person. But the biggest complaint of CEOs about their boards was that the board was meddling in the minutiae. They should let us do our job. And defining that line between the board and management is often a challenge for every board and for every management. But here's what we did. We analyzed their agendas. We took a year-long view of all their agendas, and we found that the CEOs that were complaining the hardest were actually feeding their boards execution topics. And in execution topics, the rule ought to be noses in, fingers out for the board, unless there's a red flag. If there's a red flag on execution, you want to dive more deeply into that. But in general, you don't. You don't need to. You'll have more influence over leadership and strategy topics. So being able to identify the proportion of emphasis that you're giving to those different categories is an important way to analyze the year-long agenda of the board. Another dimension that we use, we have many other dimensions, but another one we use is the difference between offense and defense. Are you growing the company, offense, or are you defending the company, defense? Are you focused on revenues? Are you focused on costs? Are you focused on opportunities? Or are you focused on regulatory restrictions? You know, the chairman right now and CEO of Wells Fargo is more focused on defense. I think sometimes to his distress, because I've worked with him, I know him. He's very interested in growing the company as well, but it's frustrating. If you can identify the proportion that works for your company in a particular year, and then guide your agenda items in that direction, I think you become a more effective board, and I think management benefits more from the advice and counsel that you give them.
Charles, you know, I did transactional work for 35 years, and I just wish that early in my career I had heard someone say noses in, fingers out, because it would have saved me so much time in trying to bring boards up to speed on their roles in transactions. So thank you for that one, and hope that our members will use that to their benefit moving forward. In closing today, let's talk about the mistakes people make when they're setting agendas. Your thoughts on that?
Sure. I think the biggest mistake many boards make, not all, and some of the best corporations are already doing this, is to look at the entire year's worth of agenda items. You know, they're organized by meeting. It's hard to analyze that way. It's much easier to analyze if you look at it from the whole year. And by the way, the discussions are less likely to go off track if you do that, because you as the chairman can point out, for example, that's a great idea, but we're not going to discuss that until November. So please hold that question until then. Suddenly you're back on track, right? So by looking at the entire year and laying out the priorities, and then, by the way, publishing them to the directors so that they understand also the annual plan is a better practice. So I would say not doing an annual agenda is probably the biggest mistake that we see. But not framing the question properly is another. As I said earlier, you know, what you get, how you frame the question determines what the response will be. And so it's much better to have an informative agenda item than not. But also another mistake might be giving the board inadequate information. At some companies, and sometimes these are young boards or boards that haven't been working together a lot, or new management, the board will ask a bunch of questions that management hasn't prepared for. And so being able to anticipate the kinds of questions and the kind of information that your board needs to make a good decision is also a kind of mistake. But the same kind of thing can happen on the other side. You could be delivering too much information that is feeding them the minutiae from the earlier story, right? The salespeople might need to know what their customers want for lunch. The board doesn't need to know that, right? They need more dense, more useful information that applies to the whole company. So both inadequate and too much information are mistakes sometimes made.
Yes, the dreaded 150-page spreadsheet included in the board book, that usually doesn't meet with a lot of approval from your board members.
Right? That's exactly right. Yeah, although I can also tell you that Mercer Delta did a survey of about 1,000 directors several years ago. And my recollection is, the question was, are you getting too much or too little information, or is it just right in the boardroom? And out of the 1,000 directors, there were almost none that said just the right amount of information. But the people who said too much information and too little information were often on the same board of directors.
Well, that's a pretty good place to end, I think, today's podcast. But before I do close, I would like to remind everyone that the publication Charles and I have been discussing, Foresight's Brief Guide for Board and Committee Chairs, again, it's in the Hot Topics box on their homepage of the website. I encourage everybody to check it out. It is, you know, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that Charles is very knowledgeable and to the point and very practical. And I think if you look at the publication, it's exactly the same. It's a very, very useful tool, and it's not particularly long either. So I would definitely encourage anyone involved in planning board meetings to take a look at it and consider sharing it with your board chairs and committee chairs, because it's really designed for their guidance. Really well done. Charles, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today. And I want to thank everybody else for listening to today's podcast. Thanks again, Charles.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.